Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Not all monsters are under the bed. Some are sleeping next to you. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
If Proctor is out of this equation and he was never a part of it, would they be looking at the cell phone data differently? Would there be more validity to the actual fact of what it is than they are right now? Would they be having a different view maybe on these other expert witnesses that aren't so much experts? But because Proctor has tainted everything, you have to look everything kind of through that lens now. And there's always little signs of Proctor here and there, but what did he touch? What did he not touch? That's right. The unsolved mystery.
I mean, think about that distraction. We're not focusing on the evidence. We're focused on the evidence and seeing what lens we're seeing that evidence through. Or are we seeing it through a clean lens, or are we seeing it through a Proctor lens? Yeah. You know, and so that is an added layer of blech that, you know, everyone has to do on this on both sides. And ultimately the jury does. And that's why, you know, and so then you bring it back to the community again, which is so up in arms, you know, supporting Karen Reed. I think it's more anti that department than necessarily pro Karen Reed. You know, a lot of times, you know, people get behind a cause because they've been so exposed to such malfeasance for so long that they want to do anything they can to expose it and get rid of it.
And Michael Proctor, depending when you're listening to it, it's happening right around now. If you're watching here at the beginning of 2025, facing finally possible permanent discipline following a hearing that's going to be taking place. The fact that he's still even there is kind of surprising, but they have to go through their bureaucratic ranks to do anything when firing someone like this. He has been on unpaid leave. I would be shocked if they keep him on, but maybe I shouldn't be. Do you think they're going to... What do you think should happen here? Let me ask you that.
He should not maintain any position in which he's got any finger at all in investigations ever again. He can't, because this mess will happen again and again and again. If because of legal reasons they can't get rid of him, or they fear a retribution lawsuit back from him or something like that, the worst case scenario is they'd have to put him as a school resource officer or something. I mean, he just cannot do anything where any potential legal ramifications would come about. So do I think he should be gone? Yeah, I think he needs to do something else.
Without a doubt. It continues to get crazier when you look more and more into everything that Proctor has been involved in over the years. It's not just Karen Reed. And there's some cases where, you know, I'm sure he didn't tip the scales. He did his job correctly. At least I would hope so. The Brian Walsh case kind of looks like one of those where it's probably not. I mean, unless he planted all of Brian Walsh's Google searches, which I kind of doubt. I don't know.
All the cases you get right now.
Yeah. But then you have the Sandra Birchmore case, which is a lot more questionable. He was one of the first to the scene. And this was a scene where it was very quickly ruled a suicide, when clearly it was not. Kind of smells of him a little bit to protect his buddy. And that went on for quite a while. It took civil lawsuits to get that thing investigated correctly. You have another case, Miles King, charged with the murder of Marquis Simmons in Milton, Massachusetts in 21. Proctor involved in the investigation. Now his credibility raising issues about the case's integrity. Sean Johnson, another one. He was involved in the investigation as well. I mean, he was an investigator. And there's many others. The list goes on and on and on. Just one person. The power that they can have over so many lives, in so many cases, because it's not just the person that's in question here being charged, it's the families, it's everybody that's having their lives turned upside down. And if there's one little person over here pulling strings in a certain way they want, it affects everything. But is that what drives someone like Proctor to do that sort of stuff? I mean, is there a thrill of having that much control? You're kind of playing God over a handful of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are attracted to that kind of power and control over things. And once you have one, not saying, you know, again, never done a psychological evaluation of him or anything like that. But once you have one rep of doing something, the second rep gets easier.
Yeah.
And when you're doing something that's kind of right in a gray line or falling off the side of wrongness, that second rep gets a little bit easier. And then when you get a little cabal of people around you, because my intuition on this, and intuition is based on reps and seeing things. The pattern that I think I'm seeing is that he's, if I was projecting and doing some conjecture here and a thought experiment, was that he took probably the first time something like this happened, he took a case that was to him clearly guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to expedite it and make it a little bit easier to get it done, get it over, since it's guilty. So I'm going to just take everything I got and make it a little bit easier for the judge, the jury, everything to say it's guilty, done, move on. Mm-hmm. And so the first time he put his own thumb on the scale, not because he was trying to shift it from a right to a wrong, you know, this is going to be wrong anyway. It gave him a rep of, hey, I can influence these things a little bit more. And so it became more of his pattern of behavior over time, which you get addicted to routine,
yeah.
You know? And so, I mean, the fact that he appeared to be so flippant and cavalier about the behaviors he's had during this case shows that he's done this a long time.
Yeah.
And
I
so
mean,
going likely. Back in time, we're seeing all these other cases that I'm not necessarily seeing something that was flipped to the opposite side of what it should have been because of him, but you can definitely see there was influence along the way to make it easier for prosecution, easier for these things to happen the way he wanted them to happen, or that they were going to happen already. I hope I'm not clouding that up at
no,
all, but
I mean,
seeing a lifetime of pattern of reps.
Yeah, I mean, and these are the observations and, you know, the allegations that have been made against him. He's not on trial for anything. I mean, it's a disciplinary hearing. But I wonder, is there any repercussions? I mean, if I were the police department, I'd be wanting to go after him for, you know, I mean, I don't believe there is any repercussions that can happen beyond disciplinary action, but you affected so many people. It is almost criminal. It probably is criminal in some way, shape or form, but I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's a very gray area where quite often we see it. Okay, somebody gets disciplined, hopefully appropriately, and in this case, hopefully removed. But that seems to be kind of it. It's like, okay, you lost your job and you have a bad reputation now, but go to somebody who other industry that doesn't pay attention to true crime and you'll be fine.
And just think about the cost of the justice system as well.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the amount of appeals from all these other cases that are now going to probably pop up because of this, and it's going to take more time, more resources, reinvestigations, more court time. I mean, that's a lot of money for all these appeals that are probably anything that he touched. If I was an individual that fell under in any way whatsoever his purview, I'm going back to court with it.
Why has he stuck it? I mean, once he was under investigation, couldn't he have quit, or would that investigation still just continue on? I mean, I guess my question would be like, look, you got this avalanche of thing that's going to fall down on you. Why don't you just walk away now? Or would that, I don't know. If it would have just continued on anyway. I get he's just kind of there now for the ride. He's signed up, he's in, but why not just walk away a while ago? I think that almost speaks to ego. If it was his choice to stay in a position where it will eventually crumble on you.
So there's a lot of, those are kind of pie in the sky kind of things we're looking at. Is like, it would make sense from a humanistic point of view potentially, but let's look at reality as well. You know, again, I do not know how that police department works, but most likely he's getting consultation from their union. He's dealing with retirement issues. I mean, so there's a lot of real life issues that he's making decisions on based on, hey, things are going sideways. But in order for me to at least capitalize on the years I spent with the force and have some semblance of retirement. I can't quit. I have to be forced out. So, and again, there's a lot of nuances.
Okay.
So I said legally that he's probably doing, at least I'm thinking if I'm in his shoes, I'm in this kind of in this situation, what am I doing to mitigate the damage to myself and my loved ones by my actions?
Yeah. And be able to get as much as you can out of, you know, your retirement and everything.
Yep.
Like that.
That's what I'm thinking it is.
Yeah. That probably answers that question.
And because of what he did, you know, so here's the impact on this too, is because of what he did, I think they charged her wrong.
Completely.
Because like you'd said, you know, she most likely did it, but she shouldn't be charged like she was charged. You know, it should be involuntary manslaughter or something like that. That's it's what, like she, because of her drunken actions, someone died. She should be held accountable for that. But what they're going at her for is because he put his thumb on a scale and she's got, and he's got a vendetta shit going. He's completely ruined the entire case.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.